Found Chop, the original Guillotine League podcast. Everything you need to know to avoid the chopping block. Chop is brought to you by GuillotineLeagues.com. Now, your hosts, Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson.
Welcome to the Chop Podcast. I'm Paul Charchian, Brian Johnson with me, my usual Chop co-host.
What's up,
Charch? Chop, my choppy. You're my choppy. Choppy in the house. I like it.
Chopperation. No, I'll think of something.
Operation Chopperation.
There we go.
Maybe that should have been the name of this podcast, but I kind of like Chop.
Yeah.
Just saying it like it is.
To the point.
Yes.
Chop.
I want to talk about the top 10 free agent moves for Guillotine Leagues in particular.
Yeah.
So as we look through, now that the vast majority of the free agent moves in the NFL are wrapped up, which of the moves, what are the big moves, and how relevant are they for Guillotine purposes in particular? Mm-hmm. So we've got our 10 big free agent moves, and we begin with Chris Carson.
Yeah, guy we love here. We talked a couple weeks ago about this. Only played 12 games in 2020, but finished ninth among running backs in points per game in Guillotine Leagues, which is pretty impressive considering he had eight or less carries in four of those 12 games played. So when he gets significant touches, Chris Carson has proven to be a monster. The fourth most rushing yards over the last 3 years during the regular season, trailing only Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, and Dalvin Cook in that regard. And right now, just going off best ball ADP, it's almost Guillotine League drafting season. We want to see where these guys end up. These guys, as in the rookies, before you really want to start drafting Guillotine Leagues. But right now, Chris Carson is going outside the top 20.
That's
running
nuts.
Backs. Guys ahead of him, David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift. Yeah, all fine prospects, but there's competition for touches with those running backs. And right now, Rashad Penny. There are some Rashad Penny truthers out there.
There are Rashad. There's a shocking number of Rashad Penny truthers.
I'm not one. Are you one?
No,
I don't
God,
think you
no.
are one. So nope. Right now, Carson, you know, in a Guillotine League, of course, 17 teams.
18.
18 now.
It's official.
Right.
It's official.
Yeah, the 17-game season. We got to get used to saying that.
Yep.
He's a borderline RB1 if you factor in how discounted discounted. He's undervalued right now going as RB21. So, yeah, he's a late first, early second round running back in my mind.
I think you're going to be able to get Chris Carson mid to late second round. Yeah. Of Guillotine League drafts, and that means if you're drafting at the beginning or middle of your Guillotine League draft, I think that opens up the window to go wide receiver or tight end with that early pick and then come back and get Chris Carson. And one of the things I love about Carson, and it's so unique to Guillotine Leagues, we want consistent production. Way more important to get consistency than anything else, and that's Chris Carson's deal. We know that Seattle uses a lead back, a workhorse back. It will be Chris Carson. He's going to get the goal line looks. And except with the exception of missing a handful of games here and there with injury, he's been highly consistent throughout his career. And I love that part about his game.
Yeah, happy to go into week one with Carson as my RB1. And, of course, he doesn't have to stay your RB1 because you can acquire
a shiny
new running back in week two.
Correct. All right, let's go to our second of 10 free agent moves that we care about as Guillotine Leaguers. Kenny Golladay, probably the biggest, he is the biggest wide receiver acquisition this offseason.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, no kidding. He gets a huge downgrade at quarterback, going from Matthew Stafford to Daniel Jones, or at least the versions of Daniel Jones we've seen before. I happen to believe that Daniel Jones has got good quarterbacking in him, and he does have, every game he has two or three really good moments, and then two or three that are just brutal. And the hope now is that they've got so many weapons now. Saquon Barkley coming back and Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton and Evan Ingram. And, you know, the hope here is that Daniel Jones's play is going to become better with all of this talent around him. And Galladay's a fantastic receiver. Now, the thing on Galladay that's going to be in everybody's mind is, the injuries. But really, before last year, he had been pretty much healthy, including just one season removed from playing all 16 games. So let's look at last year. Galladay played four full games. He scored or topped 100 yards in all four games. I mean, this is the kind of consistency we're looking for in our wide receivers. And he wasn't even fully healthy for any of those games. He had a hamstring injury at the start of the year, and then he had the hip injury after that, and he had played through some of the injuries. But that level of productivity when he was healthy was fantastic. And then the year before that, 2019, that season, he had 12 quality starts out of 16 and only 4 dud games. That's pretty good, especially as a Lion. That's pretty good. And I define quality starts as double-digit fantasy points in Guillotine League scoring. He's only 27 years old, so Kenny Golladay entering the prime of his career. I think he should be a top 10-ish Guillotine wide receiver, but I just think he won't go that high. I bet his ADP is going to be closer to 15 in the 15 range because people just tend to repeat last season and they're going to go Daniel Jones. I don't want to have to count on him.
I'm with you, and it's justifiable. And new team, the injury history, like you said, he's the guy I'm not targeting on draft day, but
I certainly keep tabs.
Are you? All right,
yeah, I kind of am.
Well, we will. I love buying low
on great players. And this is going to be this feels like a buy low on a great player for Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
The potential is there.
All right, let's go to our third of 10 free agent moves for Guillotine Leaguers. And this is a combo platter.
Combo pack.
With the tight ends that the Patriots acquired.
Yeah, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith to New England. Hunter Henry with the Chargers last season, of course, was top 9 in points per game in Guillotine Leagues. Jonnu, top 11. Before free agency, both were easily considered top 12 tight end, you know, prospects, despite the landing place. Mm-hmm. That is, unless it was the same landing place, which of course it was.
That hurts. That really daggers the value here.
So, yes, they're the two best receivers on the team, unless Julian Edelman is still alive. I haven't gotten confirmation on that yet, but basically this just harpoons the value of Hunter Henry and
now,
Jonnu Smith.
I assure you, there are some people listening right now that are going, well, you know, you're forgetting that
Aaron Hernandez
and Rob Gronkowski had a giant year together.
Yep.
They also had Tom Brady throwing the ball to them and not Cam Newton.
Yeah, and then just, you know, just the murderous wit of Aaron Hernandez probably played a factor into all of that performance too. But yeah, right now, Hunter Henry, tight end 11, Jonnu Smith, tight end 17. And this isn't best ball drafts, not touching them in any format, really. Maybe in Dynasty. We don't care about Dynasty this podcast.
No, we don't. The Guillotine League format's especially bad for these guys because you need consistent production. Yeah. And while one or the other will probably have a good game most weeks, you're never going to know which one. You'll never walk into a game going, well, this is a Jonnu Smith game. Oh, this is a Hunter Henry game. And you love the matchup for tight ends. Those things are never going to come together in the same game. You're never going to know. And that's what kills your Guillotine League and team and gets you chopped is the one catch 13-yard game. And both of these guys are capable of that in any given game.
And we'll do a first round mock, I'm sure, in coming weeks, but this really just, it bumps up the value of the elite tight ends like Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, even more when you essentially eliminate two top 12, 15 names from tight end ADP. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be targeting the elite tight end. Like, Darren Waller is going to be a first-round pick in Guillotine Leagues. He probably should be.
Yeah.
We'll get into that more in the future, I'm sure.
All right, the number 4 free agent move for Guillotine Leaguers is Aaron Jones. Jones finished as running back 5 in Guillotine Leagues last year, despite losing 150 touches to Jamal Williams. And as you know, Jamal Williams is now gone. He's in Detroit. And now some of those 150 are now going to go to A.J. Dillon. Maybe all 150 will go to A.J. Dillon. But then again, maybe not. And I don't think Aaron Jones gets any less work this year than he had last year, and he was running back 5.
Yeah, you would think his 2020 production is the floor. One would hope.
Yep. Jones scored 11 times and beautifully for Guillotine League use. He spread out those 11 touchdowns over 9 different games.
Unlike previous years when he had like 5
that's
in one
right.
game.
Yep. And that's what we really want is, you know, when you get touchdowns in 9 different games, you know, and then you sprinkle in yardage in the other games, he had 2 dud games all year. That's it.
That's money.
For Aaron Jones. Now, he did lose his starting center, Corey Linsley, and that's a sizable loss, but otherwise that offense really remains intact this year. And I'll note that because he's good for 3 catches and 26 yards per game last year through the air, that really helps. I mean, it helps round out that bad rushing game. And, you know, and every back has some of those games where, you know, you rush for 40 yards. But when you chip in just the 3 catches, there's 3 points, and the 30 receiving yards, oh, there's yeah. 3 points.
That's huge.
You know, now you've avoided that dud game that gets you chopped. Mm-hmm. And so I thought of all the places Aaron Jones could have gone, that only a couple spots would have been better than where he stayed in Green Bay.
Pittsburgh being one, but...
Probably happen. Atlanta being one. Those spots we could have walked in as the workhorse back.
But like you said, Jamal Williams gone and A.J. Dillon not stealing that receiving work.
Correct. Certainly not the receiving work. And yeah, right. Aaron Jones could be sitting on much bigger receiving numbers this year. All right, let's go to our number 5 free agent move for Guillotine Leagues, and that is Will Fuller.
Yeah, Will Fuller goes from Houston to Miami. Last year, despite playing in only 11 games for the Texans, and that includes being blanked in week 2 against the Ravens. 0 catches. I think he had 1 target. Despite that, Fuller finished as wide receiver 25 on a total points basis.
Yeah.
Playing 11 games, really 10. And on a points per game basis in Guillotine Leagues, he was 7th overall. But he was popped for the PEDs. And he's had the injury history in the past. In the 3 years prior to 2020, his games played were 11. 7 and 10. So did the PEDs help him stay healthy? Did they improve his performance?
Yeah,
a lot of questions up in the air. And now he's in Miami, where last year he was the guy, even though Brandon Cooks was in tow in Houston. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins was gone. But now there's Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki. And we're not sold on the quarterback either. Tua Tagovailoa. So right now Fuller in redraft is around wide receiver 30, which seems about right, but might be a little high for his injury history for me. I mean, there's guys like Robbie Anderson, Odell Beckham.
Especially,
after
he's got his own risks, too.
Yeah, he does.
Especially in a Guillotine format, he's got so many intangible risks, the injuries, the PEDs. That's, you know, when you're trying to find consistent week-to-week production, that's not generally been Will Fuller's game prior to last year when he was pretty consistent until he got popped.
You're right. And it's similar to the Giants and Kenny Galladay, where it bodes better for the quarterback for Daniel Jones that they acquired Kenny Galladay more so than Kenny Galladay getting Daniel Jones as a quarterback. Same goes for Tua. He gets Will Fuller, but it's not like Tua's not an upgrade over Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And we don't have to get into Deshaun Watson by any means, but you know where I'm going with that.
Back to Daniel Jones just for a second to rewind. On our previous CHOP podcast, we talked about how you can really slough quarterbacks because there are more good quarterbacks than there are teams in the league, right? Mm-hmm. Even at 18. And Daniel Jones is a perfect guy to go, you know, as your even if you have to make him your first quarterback, knowing there are going to be good quarterbacks that are going to hit the waiver wire every single week. I'm going to be sloughing quarterbacks in my Guillotine Leagues, and he's a guy that I could see me ending up with all the talent around Daniel Jones. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's go to our number 6 free agent move for Guillotine Leaguers, and that is Ryan Fitzpatrick, the most notable of the quarterback moves in the offseason.
Who'd have thunk it?
I did not see him necessarily going to Washington, but it makes sense now. You know, he's largely viewed as an all-or-nothing fantasy producer with big, big games and horrible games. Ryan Fitzpatrick. But is that true? Let's dig into the numbers.
Tell us.
The last 16 games going back to the middle of last year, he only had 2 duds in his last 16 starts. He had 6 of the 16 games, had 20 or more fantasy points. Those are good numbers. And so he didn't have nearly the inconsistency that we think of with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people tend to think of his version of him with these other really bad teams like the Jets.
Right.
And, you know, surrounded by a lot of really bad talent. Washington is actually pretty good. And when you look at the talent around him, he's going to have Terry McLaurin, who's one of the 5 best young wide receivers in the league.
Yep.
Logan Thomas, emerging tight end. Curtis Samuel, a sneaky great signing.
Talk about him a little more.
We may talk about him. Even Adam Humphries, just to like fill in some gaps, right? And J.D. McSuckett. He's got all these guys that he can distribute the ball to. I think he's got a chance for some real productivity for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah. And keep in mind, he's always had the sneaky mobility in the rushing production as well. And he does have some games where he only throws like, you know, one touchdown and 190 yards. And there's this rushing touchdown and 50 rushing yards.
Yeah, if you're going to play chicken at quarterback in a guillotine league in terms of waiting,
yeah,
like you just said, Daniel Jones, a prime candidate,
yep,
maybe Trevor Lawrence, but Fitzpatrick might be the one.
He might be. It's a great candidate as well if you're sloughing quarterback.
The alpha chicken play at quarterback. I like it.
I do too. The number seven free agent move for guillotine leaguers is Mike Davis.
Yeah, and we before him signing with Atlanta, for those that don't know, and you should know by now, he's the starting running back for the Falcons, and unless they go running back on draft day, which doesn't seem like they will unless it's for the later rounds,
yeah,
Mike Davis is going to be the guy for the Falcons, who their backs combined last year were 12th in rushing attempts and 18th in receptions. Not great, but 78 total receptions for the Falcons.
Well, look, 18th, for given the Falcons running backs, that's pretty good.
Zero receiving touchdowns, by the way, though. Only one other team
had none
accomplished that. You want to take a quick guess? Almost. Well, I want to say almost. Right conference. Pittsburgh.
Oh.
No receiving touchdowns for their running backs.
There was no productivity in those running backs at all.
But Todd Gurley managed to score 9 times for the Falcons last year. And even though Matt Ryan is decomposing before our eyes,
Fantasy.
9 times.
There we go.
9 times.
You hit 9 buttons. To get to the 9
I did. I did about 9 buttons to finally find that one.
9 times.
The saddest 9 times there ever was, Todd Gurley. But Mike Davis walking into a 300-plus touch season, one would assume. And right now he's RB 34 in best ball drafts. And I filled through this down to the last few weeks, even after the news. I mean, people are trusting A.J. Dillon, David Johnson, Javonte Williams, who's a rookie, Leonard Fournette above a guy like Mike Davis, but not to me. He's in at least the top 24 running backs right now in my mind. And he's probably a late second, early third round pick if all goes well for him.
Yeah,
through mini camps and training. As long as he's the guy.
In 18 person drafts, yep, Mike Davis is a third rounder.
Yep.
And you get all, as it stands right now, you get basically all of the running back production. So.
And now Atlanta might take a quarterback at 4, but there's some rumblings they might take Kyle Pitts, which would just throw this offense into a super fun zone. And I'd love to have the starting running back for the Falcons if that was the case.
All right, let's go to the number 8 free agent move for guillotine leaguers, and that is Juju Smith-Schuster. By the way, this is not a top 10. It's not like 1 through 10. It's actually kind of random. Juju Smith-Schuster finished as wide receiver 26th in guillotine league formats, and this is after he was, I think I would estimate he was drafted at position about 14 last year. So underperformed by a wide margin, as most listeners already know. He had to settle on a one-year deal with Pittsburgh after a very soft free agency market for him, and he signed up for $8 million. Now, he had 9 touchdowns, and the good news is he spread those across 8 different games. But, and this is one of the key things that we've warned listeners about on the CHOP podcast, be wary of touchdown-dependent players. Usually those are running backs. Juju Smith-Schuster is the touchdown-dependent receiver. When he doesn't score, he kills your team. He had 0 100-yard games last year, although he had one in the playoffs. He had none in the regular season. By the way, that playoff game, just for some context, as you remember, Steelers fell behind at half. It was 35-7 or something.
Total garbage time.
And Ben threw 68 passes for 500 yards in that game.
Just one shy.
So Juju's 100-yard receiving game in that playoff loss.
A little skewed.
It is a little bit skewed by that. And he's had just one 100-yard game in 2 seasons. He's had regular season games. Under 50 receiving yards last year in 8 different games. So when he does not score, he doesn't help you with the yards and the receptions. He had 6 dud games last year. Those are big trap games. And Juju has those. And I don't see it getting any better here because Ben's arm isn't getting any better. You know, it was a major question mark last year, and they're going to try to roll out the carcass of Roethlisberger one more time. And it's not like they have depth behind Ben Roethlisberger with Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph. Plus, Juju Smith-Schuster's got to share the ball with Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson, who are both young and getting better. James Washington, Eric Ebron. He's just going to have so many down dud games. I don't want Juju Smith-Schuster on my Guillotine League roster.
No, not so much. And the fact that he's returning, I don't know how much I want Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, whose stock was surging on the assumption that Juju was not going to re-sign with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that was a loss for those guys for sure.
Again, yeah, it's just better for Ben, worse for Juju and the rest of the guys in the receiver room.
I think so, too. But if Pittsburgh ends up drafting a quarterback, which they should, Davis Mills.
There you go.
That'll help. All right, let's go to a player we alluded to earlier in our number 9 free agent move for Guillotine Leaguers, and that is Curtis Samuel, now a member of the Washington football team.
Yeah, with the Panthers last year, didn't really have a true role running behind DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson at receiver. He was the third option in the pass game. He certainly had some significant and productive work in the running game, but going to Washington, he's the uncontested number 2, and number 2s are much better when they are uncontested, I would think. So I'm liking Curtis Samuel a lot. And, yes, he's still got the gadget trick plays, rushing plays up his sleeve, but he showed he was a very good receiver when given the opportunity last year. Here are the top 5 wide receivers in catch percentage last year with a minimum of 50 receptions.
Okay, catch percentage. All right, gotcha.
Curtis Samuel, number 1.
Wow,
82.8. And then following Samuel, Cole Beasley, Devontae Adams, Julio Jones. I only gave you the top 4 there. I said
top
5.
Well, those are good receivers.
So, and according to Pro Football Focus, Samuel had a 99.9 receiving grade on deep targets of 20-plus yards. That was tied for first in the NFL as well. So,
and do you not love the fact that he gets reunited with the coach that drafted him, offensive coordinator that knows how to use him as well? Yeah. I like that part of it.
And his boy, Terry McLaurin, they went to Ohio State
together. Yeah, they were roommates, I think.
They're buddy-buddy. Right now, Samuel, very undervalued in best ball leagues at wide receiver 37. He's a guy I'll target as a wide receiver, too, in Guillotine Leagues all day long.
His running numbers helped even out some of his dud receiving games, and Curtis Samuel does have some of those.
But he didn't get adequate target share in Carolina like he should with Washington. So hopefully that, even if he doesn't run, he probably won't run as much with Washington, but who knows. But
I don't know. They should run him more.
But he'll see a padded target total of 40, 50 targets on top of what he saw with the Panthers, one would think.
Our final out of 10 free agent moves is not a free agent move, so we sort of tricked you here at the very end of the CHOP podcast.
Free agent stay?
Yeah, it's the 49ers trade to take a quarterback at pick 3. Because I just think it's too important to not mention as a big offseason move. One way or another, the Niners should have competent quarterbacking. That could be Jimmy Garoppolo resurrects his career. Absolutely possible. Garoppolo's had stretches of really good play. Or Justin Fields is a good quarterback, or Mac Jones is a good quarterback. Whoever they end up drafting turns out to be a good quarterback in his rookie year. That could absolutely happen. Kyle Shanahan is brilliant, and he's as bankable an offensive mind as there is, and I think he's going to get good production out of somebody at the quarterback position this year. And when he does that, there's going to be some opportunity. I love that the Niners also invested in their offensive line in the offseason. They re-signed Trent Williams. They landed center Alex Mack. You know, Mac and Shanahan go back to the Falcons days together. And you roll that together, and really the upside that I'm trying to get here is I really like the receivers. George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, all undervalued, especially Kittle. I mean, because of the injuries last year and the trouble at quarterback, people are going to be way, way, way off Kittle. And he's awesome. And in the Guillotine format, you know, we talked about there's more good quarterbacks than there are teams. There's more than 18 good quarterbacks. There are so few good tight ends that is a massive positional advantage if you can get a good tight end. And then when they hit the waiver wire, you don't have to go spend for a good tight end because there's going to be a scramble to get those guys. I like investing in tight ends, and I think Kittle especially is going to be undervalued here.
Yeah, Kittle always produces. He might get hurt, but every player might get hurt, but he never disappoints and then gets hurt. He goes out there and he puts up points, and if he gets hurt, he gets hurt just like anyone else. But yeah, if healthy, he's money. And rookie quarterbacks tend to lean on the tight ends a little more.
They
too,
do.
Some
they
people
do.
Have said in the
yeah,
past.
There's some truth to that. Mm-hmm. And Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are yeah. great talents. Those guys are special
it's
players.
A sexy duo.
That really is. 49ers are going to be an intriguing future bet to return to the Super Bowl, right? Because they had every injury possible last year. If that team stays healthy, gets this offense back going again, it's going to be
quarterback's the one thing missing.
Is it, though? Well, maybe not if they get Justin Fields or Mac Jones.
Well,
those
I know.
Guys
I
was, good,
as,
right?
As of right now, yes. Yeah, so we'll see.
Did you like George Kittle's April Fool's joke?
He didn't look good in the Jaguars uniform, but that would be a fun addition.
Pretty funny joke, though.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it.
I hate April Fool's, though. It's the worst.
Yeah, is it because you've been pranked?
Probably. None that I can really, like, nothing stands out, but the world is far too gullible these days for April Fool's, I feel like.
So,
You got a good...
I when I was a kid, I on April Fool's, I swapped the sugar and the salt.
Okay.
So classic. I put the sugar in the right. salt shaker and the salt in the sugar bowl. And I'm sitting in my room, and I did it like the night before, early in the morning, something like that. And I'm sitting in my room, and my mom comes charging in with a bowl of cereal in her hand, and she's pissed. And she's screaming about who put the salt in the sugar bowl. And it's steam just, you know, coming out her ears. And for a minute, I'm like, I should just deny it. But then I'm like, no. And so I just said, it's April Fool's. And she was flummoxed in that moment. She's so mad that she doesn't care. But at the same time, you don't want to be the one that doesn't roll with the April Fool's joke, right?
Yeah, when you're a kid.
And
it's a holiday.
Right. So she didn't know quite what to do, but she was still pissed. And she says she's going to make me eat it. I got to eat the rest of the bowl. But eventually she chilled out from that, and I did not have to eat the rest of the bowl of cereal.
You can't waste good salt. Not in that economy.
Thank you for listening and getting to the end of this Chop podcast. We've had a ton of fun. And I think the next one, you know, we're trying in these off-season Chop podcasts to reach out about once every month. We'll probably reach out in right after the NFL draft, so early May, late April. We'll reach out again, and we'll talk more about some of the rookies and the landing spots and what it means for Guillotine League okay. players.
And when do they release the schedule? That's not long after the draft is over?
Maybe even before the draft. I think it's before. I think it's mid-April, but I could
also
be wrong.
Very vital information.
Yeah,
especially
super
in
important. We'll do
leagues.
Yeah, we'll yep. do a whole. We'll probably do a whole show yep. On the draft because those early bye weeks, no bueno.
Nope.
Yeah, bad news. All right, thanks everybody. We'll talk to you down the road. Bye bye.